is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. North Carolina got a hint of her talent during her days with the Carolina Chocolate Drops. The group earned the Best Traditional Folk Album Grammy in 2011. Since then, Rhiannon Giddens has been making full use of her talents, from her solo albums to hosting a podcast for the Metropolitan Opera. And of course, she continues to be a storyteller who pushes the boundaries. On her latest album, Rhiannon teams up with Italian jazz musician Francesco Torisi for a collaboration that ranges from opera to traditional folk. They're going to perform tonight at the North Carolina Museum of Art in Raleigh. Rhiannon Giddens, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And you've brought a friend and a collaborator with you, pianist, percussionist, and jazz musician Francesco Torisi. Welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. So tell us more about this album and how this all came about, Rhiannon.
Well, you know, Francesco and I had been started talking and realizing that we had a lot of commonalities with the way we look at music, you know, just separated by an ocean, you know, him being, you know, talking about the Mediterranean and that influence on European music, and me talking about the African-American influence on just American music. And so we booked a studio in Dublin for 5 days and brought over Joe Henry and Ryan Freeland and just said, well, let's see what happens.
And I understand, of course, we know that you have brought back the banjo in a lot of ways and helped us understand and renew our appreciation for the banjo as an instrument in the American folk tradition. And Francesco, I understand that there's an instrument that has a similar sound that's an Italian instrument. Traditional instrument.
I'm not sure which one you're talking about, like a lute instrument or
not a lute. Is there one that's featured on this album that name one?
Well, no, because we both play something like 10 instruments on
this
album. You know,
wow.
So,
it's fantastic.
Maybe the tamburello. I talk a lot about frame drums, you know, and stuff like that. So frame drums are instruments which are everywhere in the Mediterranean. But, you know, a lot of the focus of my studies have been in how all these countries that are touched by the Mediterranean have affected each other, you know, and the very strong influence of the, let's call it, Arabic world, especially during the Middle Ages, you know, when the Arabs were dominating a big part of the Mediterranean, and the impact that has had in the later times, like in the all that we consider Renaissance culture, you know, and stuff like that. So The frame drum, maybe, that's what you were talking about, the tamburello, we call it. It's a jingled frame drum, which is very typical of pretty much the whole Mediterranean area, but especially southern Italy.
And I just wonder what happens when you collaborate, because I'm going to play a cut from one of the, or a piece of one of the cuts on the album, Wayfaring Stranger, which we know, that's a traditional song, we've heard it for a long time. I'm going to play a clip right now and then come back and talk with you about the way this collaboration would influence the recording of a song like that. Let's listen. Giddens, a little piece of Wayfaring Stranger from her latest release, There Is No Other, a collaboration with Italian jazz musician Francesco Torisi. They perform tonight at the North Carolina Museum of Art in Raleigh. So again, a very familiar song to all of us. Does this collaboration change the way you do that song, the way you approach that song?
I mean, absolutely. I think both of us are you know, taking instruments, like say in that track, the banjo and the accordion, that have been much maligned and sort of have people have this idea of what those instruments should sound like in their ears. And we've kind of taken those and sort of, you know, through our approach to music, our research in the history, and all of the things that kind of make us up as musicians, we then bring that approach to the instruments and give it a different sound. So you think banjo and accordion, oh my God, that's a nightmare. It's a joke. I've actually heard jokes with banjo and accordion. But then you hear that and you're like, well, those are sounds that also should be associated with those instruments, because that's, you know, the ones that we play.
Francesco, had you been familiar with that particular song before?
No. I never heard it before, actually. But you know, it's surprising, because I'm sure a lot of people have heard a million versions of this, and I've only always heard Rhiannon's. I mean, at least it was the first one. So I think recently I heard another version and was like, oh, that's the song? I'm so used to hear it with the banjo and, you know, with that particular arrangement.
Did it? So what did you bring? When you heard that, did you think, oh, you know, we need to do this, or this sounds like something in my
I mean, that particular arrangement, Rhiannon actually had done previously a version with an accordionist from Northern Ireland, right?
Yeah, and that And that's the reason I brought it in, because I was like, well, you play accordion. Yeah.
That kind of idea was seeded there already, you know. So I just brought a little bit of my sound into it, you know. And then in the recording studio, it was actually Joe Henry's idea, the producer, to add a little layer of piano as well, which obviously we can't do live because I only have two hands. But, it gives a slight different color there as well, you know.
Yeah. So, well, I want to play another clip now from the album. And this, I think, probably has an even stronger influence. This is Pizzica di San Vito, and forgive the pronunciation. But this is also a clip from the same album, There Is No Other. Let's listen to a little piece of it. Rhiannon Giddens and Francesco Tursi on the album There Is No Other. Catch them in performance tonight at the North Carolina Museum of Art. That is not a familiar folk song in the American songbook.
It's a little more familiar from us, maybe, from Italy. So it's a pizzica, which is a traditional dance from Puglia. So that's the heel of the boot of Italy, and belongs to the family, large family of tarantellas, you know. So what a lot of people don't know is that this music was actually healing trance music to what they believed was the poison of a spider bite. You know?
Tarantula. Right?
The tarantula.
That's the tarantella.
Hence the name, yeah. So, I mean, you know, so that was the idea. And I think Rhiannon had the idea of trying to learn one of these pieces, which is, by the way, in Apulian dialect. It's not Italian. So she did a great job in learning that.
Wow.
She got approval even from local people from Puglia for that. And you know, so we listened to a lot of different versions and we came up with this arrangement. You know, this, even the chord movement is not really the way it's done traditionally. And then we started adding, layering different instruments, you know, like the minstrel banjo. Maybe you want to say something about that.
Yeah, I mean, just the idea of the banjo that I play, which is, you know, replica from the late 1850s, and there's this idea that, you know, jig movements and sort of only belong to Ireland, you know, when they were really all over Europe, and there's aspects of the minstrel banjo that make it a lot easier to play that, you know, thing. So just like adding that in, and then Francesco added another Italian instrument on top of it.
Yeah, so there is tamburello, which is the traditional frame drum, then we have the minstrel banjo, and then I added a bit of a strange instrument called colaccione, which was popular in the 17th century as a street instrument in the Neapolitan area. It's very specialized, collect a lot of weird instruments. And it sounds almost like a bass guitar. It's, you know, we don't really know much about this instrument because there's no music written for it, because it was a street folk instrument. But we know that they played a lot of power chords. It's like really proto rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right.
So we added it.
Well, how many strings? How many strings?
Three or four.
Yeah,
this one that I have has got four strings, you know, so it adds a slightly menacing vibe to the whole thing, I think.
Well, what's the blend here? You know, you talked about, Francesco, you're talking about the fact that Rhiannon was able to nail the dialect, right? So to some extent, you want to be able to embrace and embody and recreate some of what the culture is, but you're going to bring yourself to it. How do you approach that question of how much do I want this to sound like a pizzica? And how much do we need to, are we here hearing that we need to bring to art.
Well, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why we get along so well musically is that we have the same approach. We're both conservatory trained, you know, so the same diction that I learned that allowed me to tackle, you know, Apulian dialect is the same thing that allowed him to add these beautiful piano chords to, you know, Wayfaring Stranger. And then we also, you know, delved into the folk traditions from our cultural area. And then we kind of mix it all up in a way that feels authentic to us. So we're not trying to do a traditional, you know, pizzica. We're trying to do one that is funneled through who we are, but is also historically very much, you know, supported. And we know a lot of, you know, about where the music is coming from, so we can use that knowledge in a way that feels right to us instead of trying to recreate. So we like to say we're historically inspired, not a recreation.
Well, I think that's great, and that's what makes it sound fresh, and it sound like I want to listen to it over and over and over again. And anybody who's listened to this show long enough and heard me talk about music knows I pushed back against this idea that, music is the great unifier. I think it's the great divider. I think people are culturally identified by their music, and it's what separates us. So I fight that. But at the same time, I wonder, in a project like this, as you're listening, coming from a deep understanding of a cultural tradition, when you put music together, not what sounds the same about it, but what do you identify in your music that maybe you never heard before that is utterly unique and perhaps occurred to you as a result of trying to blend these two musics? Does anything like that ever happen?
Well, it's like the very first thing we did together, you know, when we put our instruments together, the banjo and the tamborello. So I played a tune from 1855, and then he just picked up a tambourine and started playing, you know, Sicilian, you know, tamborello techniques. And all of a sudden, the music that I was playing made sense in a way that I hadn't felt before. And, you know, and it was kind of effortless for those things that were coming out of the tamborello. So I think, I understand what you're saying, but our whole point of this record is the differences that we hear in the music all arise from, I think, a set of similar circumstances. Yeah. And when you think about how the instruments have traveled and moved and changed each other and affected each other, it's, you know, it actually does show us how similar we are through the differences that we exhibit.
Well, yeah. I will qualify my brutal critique by saying when musicians get together, I believe they're hearing a world of similarity, and they say, "Oh, wow, that sounds like this." But for audiences, particularly commercial audiences, I think it becomes a dividing line.
And I think that's been put in place by people who wanted to do that because it serves their purpose. I don't think it's a natural thing.
It is not a natural thing. It is a commercial artifice. Mm-hmm. Qualify that.
I also find that, you know, we're not doing this as an intellectual exercise. You know, there's so many people in the world that go like, "I have a great idea. Let's put South Indian music together with native whatever," you know? Yeah. And that rarely works. I mean, for us, it was more like we both have this incredible, I think, baggage of sounds and things we've been into, and we just hear things, you know? And it's not necessarily a concept in itself. It's something that musically works. And then, you know, sometimes after we go, "Wow, that worked really well." And we can find a reason why, you know, if you look into the, you know, like we're saying, the migrations, the history of instruments, because we're both nerds and we like to research a lot as well. So that sometimes is corroborated, even, you know, from a theoretical point of view. But it's never an exercise, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't start from the top down.
Exactly.
And yet you are both conservatory trained. And I wonder about that because both of you appear to have, certainly Francesco, I don't know as much about you, but a deep interest in folk music, the dances and the jigs and the things, the celebratory music in most cases, that the people created. I wonder what that formal training as an overlay does for you as a creator and as an artist. It is not insignificant, it seems to me, and it does allow you to bring something else to this music.
Well, yeah, it's what I like to tell people. You know, I feel like it's a set of tools, you know, and when you go to school for music, especially for like art music, you know, you get a set of very specific tools, and it's whether you have the imagination to use those tools on other things, you know, and that's what that world isn't very good at teaching. It's like you have the tools for these sets of things, and that's what you need to keep. Don't go outside of the box, you know. Whereas when you actually, and more people are doing this kind of across the board, you take those tools and then you can apply them to other things, and you go, "Oh, wow, this is, you know, allowing me to learn this language. It's allowing me to do this thing. I have the breath control for this," you know. And it's like, okay, I'm grateful for this.
Yeah, I mean, for me, 100%. I trained as a jazz musician, you know, so it's academic in a different way. I think these days jazz fits in between the stools, you know, because it's taught in the conservatory and it's kind of aspiring to be at the same level of classical music, but at the same time, it's music that comes from oral tradition, you know. So there is a bit of a divide there, but for me, it was great because I can relate to both ideas, you know. So with my mentality of the jazz musician, I have analyzed even like I studied Baroque music, you know, and I do it in the exact same way that I approach jazz, because there were a lot of similarities back then, you know. And then I look at other musics and I have the similar mentality of trying to extract my own language out of these, you know, because it's like what you hinted at there before. I mean, each of these instruments that we try to play, you know, could take a lifetime to master. That's not what we're claiming here, you know. We're just trying to get something which is ours out of each of these different sounds, you know. That's the idea.
I want to play another clip from the album now. This is a clip from a song called Brown Baby. Let's listen.
How do we start it?
I don't know.
Piece of Brown Baby, that is from Rhiannon Giddens and Francesco Terzi, a collaboration called There Is No Other. They will perform tonight at the North Carolina Museum of Art. Love that sound because it sounds like it's going to start like a traditional, you know, sort of a mountain song. We might call it bluegrass. I wouldn't call it bluegrass, but that's the way it sounds. And then it sounds like something else. Mm-hmm. You have a very Mediterranean feel, and then the jazz elements work their way into it. Did you improvise that, or did you sit down and compose? How did you?
No, that was also, we sat in the room together to lay down the banjo track.
Gosh, I'm listening to that going, God, Ryan Freeland is a genius. I mean, it just sounds so good, and we're literally facing each other. I'm playing banjo and singing at the same time. He's playing frame drum, and they're recording.
We're like a distance, like a meter from each other.
And he's recording it all at the same time, and then the piano is overlaid. You know, so there's very few overlays, and most of it was done in the room, with no partitions, no isolation, no nothing. Literally, you and I are facing each other across the table. That's how it was recorded, and it's just I'm just in awe of Ryan Freeland, because what it allowed us to
That's the recording engineer.
He works with Joe Henry a lot. And what it allowed us to do is, you know, that beginning, he left that in because every song actually started like that, because we'd be sitting there and be like, how are we going to do this? And then we would just literally launch right into the song, and that usually was the take, you know. But we felt so relaxed because there was no, you know, adjusting of microphones. He just had this setup where we could just switch at will, and that, so that became, you know, hallmark of that record.
There's a very North African sound, you know, in this riff that Rhiannon has on the banjo. I totally heard the oud, you know, which is the Arabic lute. To me, it sounded like a total Arabic riff.
And this is just a tune that I wrote on, you know, the banjo.
So. And so I put the frame drums and recorded it live together. And then I think it was Joe Henry.
Yeah,
he said, I hear some piano there, you know. And I had no idea. I just walked in and that was the take.
Yeah.
And it kind of, the piano gives it a completely different dimension later. Yeah. It grows into
interesting because it was inspired by Nina Simone's version of this is an Oscar Brown Jr. song, and it was her version of this that I was inspired by. But then I wrote that banjo riff, and then so it kind of actually pulls in a little bit of her back into it, you know. But it's still wholly, you know, our thing. Yeah. It's inspired by her, you know.
Well, and to get it right, I mean, you know, that those are tough frequencies to pull together. I don't want to get too geeky, but if you got a drum going down here and a banjo going plink plink up there, and one or two microphones in the room, y'all know what you're doing.
Well, he knew it. so that allowed us to do what we do. You know, it was a beautiful partnership between the four of us.
I want to thank you both for being on the program. Grammy-winning recording artist and MacArthur genius, Rhiannon Giddens, jazz musician Francesco Terzi. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Their new record is called There Is No Other. They will perform tonight at the North Carolina Museum of Art, and you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we'll talk about art as a form of resistance. Stay tuned.